WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Even with recent rains, much of the area is still under drought conditions. Nearly a quarter of those on Medicaid in Virginia before the pandemic have been removed from the program. And people who are incarcerated in Virginia will soon start getting access to college classes. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, August 19th. Parts of Virginia are still under drought conditions despite recent rains. Much of the Shenandoah Valley from Augusta County north is still under a severe drought. That's according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. East of the Blue Ridge, counties from Amherst to Northern Virginia are under moderate drought conditions. Charlottesville City Attorney Jacob Stroman has been on administrative leave since April, and an assistant city attorney no longer works there. Charlottesville Tomorrow says it obtained emails that indicate an investigation over an unidentified complaint led to the personnel changes. Richmond law firm Sands Anderson will fill the city attorney role while Stroman is on indefinite leave. Winchester City Council has decided not to switch from every other month to monthly water billing. The Winchester Star reports the panel's unanimous decision last week came in the wake of a survey about monthly water billing. Nearly 1,900 people responded to the survey, and 72% of participants said they oppose monthly billing. According to documents presented to council, it would cost an estimated $36,000 more per year to switch from bimonthly to monthly billing. More than 100 people have asked state regulators to deny Appalachian Power's latest request to raise electric rates ahead of a public hearing next month. Cardinal News reports that the company is asking regulators for permission to raise the average residential customer's bill by about $10 a month. That's about 6%. The utility says it needs the increase to pay for higher expenses and to maintain reliability. The request comes on the heels of several cost increases over the past 2 years that have raised the average customer's monthly bill by about $51. The State Corporation Commission must issue its final order on the latest request by November 20th. Any increase approved would not take effect before next year. Appalachian Power is the primary provider in southwestern Virginia, but also serves parts of Amherst, Nelson, and Albemarle counties. About 2 million people in Virginia relied on Medicaid prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, but about 480,000 have been removed from the rolls. The Virginia Mercury reports that disenrollment was paused during the pandemic, but reinstated in April 2023. Apart from financial eligibility, some people have been removed due to paperwork issues. Almost 70,000 Virginians are waiting for responses to their applications. Governor Glenn Youngkin last month signed an executive order tasking the State Education Department with developing guidelines restricting cell phones in public schools. VPM News editor Dave Cantor has more on the draft policy, which was released last week.
The 7-page document acknowledges students in different grades use technology differently. Elementary school students, according to the draft, can't use a cell phone on school grounds unless arrangements are made with their parent. But middle and high school students would be restricted, quote, bell to bell. There are exemptions for students on 504 or individualized education plans as well. The draft says the guidance should be used as the floor of a division's plans and encourages local districts to consult with their communities. The Education Department's looking for feedback through September 15th. Visit doe.virginia.gov to leave a comment.
Dave Cantor reporting. One school in Richmond got ahead of the curve and limited cell phone use in schools earlier this year. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
Kids will rise to your expectations. You just got to have high expectations for them.
That's Annette Dabney. She's the principal at Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School in Richmond's East End. And she was in charge when the school went cell phone free in January.
It was tough, you know, just trying to get the message across. If we remove the cell phones from you and you can focus more in classroom, your instruction is going to increase. You're going to learn more. You can enjoy the class more.
MLK's program was part of a Richmond Public Schools pilot, which gave a handful of schools the chance to use pouches that are sealed by teachers when students enter the building. Dabney said the program went well, with preliminary test scores suggesting it helped. But it wasn't easy. The principal said students pushed back, with some figuring out how to pop the pouch locks once they realized the policy was there to stay. But working with everyone involved can help relieve some of the pressure.
You can't say we're going to do this and don't have buy-in from the kids, from the parents, and from your staff, because it's going to be disastrous.
MLK will stay in their cell phone free pilot through the first semester with a new policy in line with new state guidelines expected in 2025. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The U.S. Department of Education recently announced next year's free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, will not open to the public until December, 2 months later than expected. This comes after months of delays with this year's application. Megan Pauley with VPM News reports.
Ashley Browning, Vice President for Enrollment Management at Hollins University in Roanoke, says the news felt like a gut punch.
I try and be a glass half full person, and when that news came out, it was just hard to not throw up your hands and think, okay, here we are again.
It's been a problem for both students and staff members, Browning says. Ashley Miller with Old Dominion University worries about retention of her financial aid staff if the application is delayed beyond December.
I think we could see a lot of people leave the profession, so that's something that is top of mind for me.
But right now, colleges and universities are focused on getting aid packages sorted out for students enrolling this fall. Some are delaying deadlines for first payments because of all the issues with the FAFSA rollout.
Megan Pauley reporting. People who are incarcerated in Virginia are about to start getting access to college classes. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
For many years, Pell Grants were not available to people who are incarcerated. But now the law has changed, and about 14,000 people who are currently incarcerated in Virginia prisons have access to money to pay for college classes. Terry Irwin is director at the Virginia Consensus for Higher Education in Prison. She says only 11 out of Virginia's 45 prisons offer college classes.
14,000 people, that's a lot of folks who have possibility of pursuing a degree program, but right now, not yet the practical possibility. They have the money kind of figuratively in their pockets through the Pell Grant, but they don't have a classroom to walk into and sit down at a desk, open a textbook, and start that program.
Governor Glenn Youngkin recently signed an executive order directing state officials to figure out a way to expand access to college classes behind bars. John Donley is a partner in the Virginia Consensus for Higher Education in Prison.
It's really incumbent on us to expand access to everyone who can benefit, everybody who is eligible for Pell while incarcerated, to earn associate degrees, bachelor's degrees, credentials, industry certifications, whatever is going to benefit them as they transition back into society.
Now, although about 14,000 people who are currently incarcerated are eligible, only about 500 of them are currently taking classes. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, the Democratic National Convention begins today in Chicago, and a number of Virginia officials will be in attendance. Among them is State Senator Ghazala Hashmi. Last week, she mentioned a proposal that Democrats are preparing for January's General Assembly session.
For this upcoming session, of course, we are going to be introducing the constitutional amendment in the Virginia General Assembly, the constitutional amendment that protects the access to safe and legal abortion.
Virginia remains the only southern state that has not restricted abortion access following the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case. And speaking of the Democratic National Convention, we will provide live coverage from NPR beginning tonight at 9. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.